This Advent, we've been reading together the epistle lessons from the scripture readings, and so tonight we're going to look at the epistle from the little book of Titus, and it's Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to say no to impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly. While we wait for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are eager to do good deeds. Perhaps, like some of you, I'm actually hoping for the snow. After we all get home tonight and everyone's travels done tomorrow, and Christmas has arrived, it would be sweet to sit in a warm room and watch white wonder fall from the sky. And I probably get lots of bad pastor marks for this, but I'm also kind of hoping that the snow will have us staying home this Sunday morning, the day after Christmas. We can come to church on Zoom, sit in a comfortable chair and sip coffee or hot chocolate and worship together. Yet I have to admit that my snowy hope for this weekend comes from a place of privilege. From the point of view of someone who lives in a nice heated house with a pantry full of food. Many others around us, you see them in tents lining our streets and filling green spaces around the city. They're not hoping for snow at all. It will be misery rather than beauty for them. So I'm chastened to realize that for our sake, I ought not be hoping for snow at all. Fortunately, we have something else for which to hope. Verse 13 of our text from Titus says that we're waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The celebration of Christmas is full of all sorts of hopes, but the essential one is to hope in Jesus. Like all the decorations hung on Christmas tree, all our other hopes hang upon that one hope in Him. We're celebrating tonight because that hope in and for Jesus has already been in part fulfilled. Verse 11 tells us, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Through the baby in the stable, God's grace was shown to us. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. His grace offers that salvation to anyone who will receive it. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, grace was born into our world. And so was hope. Grace is God's recognition that you and I, along with the rest of the human race, are pretty hopeless creatures. As much as we'd like to be nice people, to do good things, to make our world a beautiful, peaceful place, we keep fouling it up. Many times we're just plain mean or lazy or selfish. We yell at a neighbor or leave a mess for someone else to clean up, or spend a lot on ourselves without sharing. We hope for that which may bring us pleasure, but may just leave others wet and cold on a freezing night. Many of the problems of the world are really just the same kind of thing on a bigger scale. Selfishness and sin is multiplied on the scale of nations, of continents. On our own, we're hopeless sinners. The coming of Jesus is the good news that no one has to remain hopeless. We don't have to remain hopelessly on our own, lost and messed up and failing over and over. When the angel appeared in the sky over that sheep pasture in Israel, he brought good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. Unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Those words were first spoken to poor men sleeping outside on a cold night in the form of a new infant, a newborn infant. God sent grace and hope to everyone, including those in the roughest circumstances. And that changes everything. Grace is the blessed hope that change is possible. Because, says verse 12, grace teaches us to say no. How many times have you and I said, I just can't say no? You may have said yes to a half a dozen Christmas cookies too many, or to an expensive pleasure you can't really afford, or to an opportunity to exact a little pain from someone who hurt you. On our own, by ourselves, we just cannot say no to all those ways we go wrong and damage our own lives and the lives of others. Only grace teaches us to say no and turn away from the old messed up way of living to embrace something better. Now that invitation here, Paul wrote Titus, to be self-controlled, upright, and godly. That's the end of verse 12. That's a pretty uptight theme for Christmas Eve. But pause and think about what a gift it would be to have lives like that rather than the alternative of ungodliness and unbridled passion. What a gift it would be to have control of one's own behavior, to be able to know in your heart that you've done what's right, to be able to stand before the Lord with a clear conscience. The gift of Christ's grace helps us make that change. Growing up, one item I expected to find in my stocking every Christmas was a new toothbrush. It was not my favorite gift. It was a bland present. But I'd pull it out, see that it was blue, I hoped anyway, and set it aside. Yet it made a difference. Christmas evening, before I went to bed, I took the old brush with its worn, flattened bristles out of the little rack in the bathroom and threw it in the trash. And then I tore the cellophane off the little box. They came in little boxes then. And got to work with a crisp, fresh replacement. My teeth felt a little cleaner when I finished that evening. And I rinsed off my new brush and dropped it in the slot. I don't mean to compare Jesus to a toothbrush. But the baby born 2 millennia ago was the Christmas gift of a replacement life. He grew into a fresh, upright, new kind of human being. Tempted, just like you and I are, he said no to all the life-destroying choices you and I make. Instead, he formed himself into just the kind of life we've always wanted. Jesus Christ brought into the world, and if we let him, into our lives, a perfect humanity. His life is God's gracious replacement for the flat, worn-out, broken messes we've made of ourselves. By giving us the life of Jesus, God makes it possible for us to say no to all that's old and awful in ourselves, and to say yes to a brand new life in him. Still, if all we have is Christmas, why bother with it? Both my wife's parents had dentures. So Beth grew up fully expecting to lose all her teeth by the time she was 40 or so. So she had little motivation for dental care, for experiencing even that tiny pleasure I got from a new toothbrush. Why go to the trouble if it comes to nothing in the long run, if you're going to end up toothless anyway? But with a little hope for your teeth, toothbrushes are maybe a bit more exciting because they do make a real difference. You might wonder why it makes sense to say no to any of life's pleasures or to any of its sins if we're all going to end up the same way, not only toothless, but tired and old and dying. Why give up the satisfaction of revenge, the sweetness of illicit love, the pleasure of getting ahead at someone else's expense, unless giving up such things really makes a difference in the end? That's why here at Christmas, Titus reminds us that Jesus didn't just appear once. He will appear again. We receive and begin a new way of life in Christ as, according to verse 13, we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christmas is one side of a pair of holy bookends which hold together new and changed human life. Because Jesus came the first time, you and I live in an age of grace and forgiveness and reconciliation. Because He's coming again, we have the hope of that new life made complete and perfect when He returns to us. We spend a lot of effort and time looking forward to Christmas. But the great thing is that Christmas allows us to look forward to eternity when He comes again. In the meantime, we have these old, worn down, ruined selves awaiting changes, awaiting some new bristles to brush away all that's still wrong with us. When we take a hard look at ourselves, we may wonder why we're selfishly stuffing our faces and singing happy songs while those around us are hungry and struggling. Yet Christmas comes around to remind us of the grace we have right now. The grace that means we can always begin again, begin afresh, always find renewal and new life, always have hope. Verse 14 starts by telling us Jesus is the one who gave Himself for us. Times have changed, I know, but day after tomorrow, or maybe online tomorrow on Christmas itself, people will start returning presents they didn't like or need or want for something better. Or they'll use the gift cards they got to purchase actual gifts. You may exchange a blouse that doesn't fit or buy a television marked down after Christmas. Boxing Day, as they call it in Canada and England, is often for us the day to exchange for something else whatever came in a box. Yet the greatest exchange of unwanted items for wanted gifts happened on the first Christmas. Our Savior exchanged His life for ours. He gave up the glory and comfort of heaven to take up our weak and painful existence. He put His own pleasure and benefit down on the counter and picked up your sorrow and suffering. Jesus gave up His life in order to redeem yours. Becoming human, God the Son swapped His own eternal, perfect, joyful life for the short, sinful, and often sad life we experience, so that you and I may swap our troubled lives for His blessed and holy one. Christmas is an opportunity for everyone because God's grace offers salvation to everyone to make a priceless exchange. Jesus wants to exchange lives with you. Give Him your life and He will give you His. Send in to Him all your broken, defective, cheap, gaudy plastic merchandise that you thought was really living, and ask Him to replace it with something better. He will. He already has. It's His own blessed human and divine life begun at Christmas. We have hope because that's the heart and soul of Christmas. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. That's our hope, not gifts, nor a snowy white Christmas, nor even happy times with family and friends. Our hope is that God sent His Son to bring us into a better life by making us actually better. Not better in the sense of being more comfortable or well off, but better in that self-controlled, upright, and godly way. The hope Jesus offers is the hope that in Him, you and I can be better people. Living in that hope makes us different. It makes us want to brush our teeth and brush the dirt off our souls. It makes us want to be the new people that Christ came to create in us. As verse 14 says, He gave Himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. Christmas can bring out the best in people. We often say that. You find people a little more kind, a little more patient, a little more generous with those in need. It'll move some of us to volunteer at the warming center shelters that will open almost surely this next week. That's what God meant Christmas to do, to change us, not in some private, sentimental sort of way, but in a gracious, generous, justice-loving sort of way. God's gift of Jesus is a lasting exchange of His life for our lives, raising us up into a life much greater and morally better than we had before. The birth of God's Son is a miracle which gives us the hope of being far more, far better than we are now. It's happening. Sometimes I'm not sure, as sure as I'd like to be, that it's happening in me, but I believe it because I see it happening in many of you, people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. Even though we're not hosting a warming center here right now, some of you are still going to team with other Christians and people of goodwill to shelter those who have no homes. Others of you have reached out to the new parents in our congregation who, like Mary and Joseph, recently brought a baby into the dark of winter with a difficult delivery. You've comforted those who are hurting, given rides and shown love to those who can no longer drive. And Beth and I have often received your kindness and love. By the grace of Jesus Christ, God is making you into people who are His very own, eager to do what is good. It lets remember that Christmas and what follows is not founded on what you and I do, no matter how good it is. Christmas is grace. It's a gift. Christmas is God's gift to tired, confused, imperfect people who by themselves are always getting life wrong. It's only by the grace that was born in Bethlehem that there's any hope for us to change. It's by that grace of Jesus who was born and died and rose again that we have the hope of becoming something new. This wet, dark night, with a pandemic surging around us again and snow about to fall and people sleeping outside and a sense of deep uncertainty about the future of our nation, of the climate, of the earth itself, it's easy to wonder, even to say, is there any hope for this world? Maybe you've said it. The answer of Christmas is that there is hope. There is peace for the world because there's hope for you and me. Hope that in Jesus we can still be made something pure, something more kind, something more filled with love, something better than we are now. Go ahead and hope for the snow to come and cover the ground tomorrow. I'll likely keep hoping that too. but hope even more for grace to come down in Jesus to cover all our sins and to wash them away like pouring rain rather than snow. Hope not just for the peace of a beautiful winter landscape, but for the peace with which God wants to bless every person on earth, especially those who are poor and cold and lonely tonight. Hope not just for a good life in days to come, but for a life in which you are eager to do good. That's a Christmas hope, a hope that we may be people worthy of the salvation Jesus brought us, people who truly and clearly do belong to God. May such hope be yours and mine tonight. And may a blessed, merry, and hopeful Christmas come to you all. Amen.